My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hey, everybody. Hey. It is Reverend Carla J. Old, www.carlajolds.com. Thank you so much for joining us again this month. Okay, y'all, so this is the month of October. Fall has set in the Eastern Hemisphere. The air has changed, a little crisper, a little cooler in the morning. But let me tell y'all, I have a powerhouse of a woman, beautiful young lady, that is going to talk to us today about our mental health. And it's important to make sure that our lives are in balance and that we stay mentally healthy. So we're going to pray, and we're going to thank God and praise God. And then we are going to get in. We're going to delve into this interview this morning. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, tonight, wherever we are in the world, Lord God, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all that you're doing in our lives, oh God. God, we thank you for your protection, Lord God. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for keeping our minds, our body, and our spirit, dear God. God, we ask that you just be with us today as we go forward. Use us as maid servants in your vineyard, Lord God. Give us the right words to say so that we may encourage, inspire, and uplift. God, we just thank you and we praise you. We also thank you for Kayla Padgett, and we thank you for Josie and Josie's inspiration. Lord, go before us, give us clear thought and clear speech so that we can reach your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sister Christy, are you there?
I am. Hey.
Hey. So today, y'all, we got the fantastic and fabulous minister, and I'm going to just speak this before she can dispel it. We got the Reverend Dr. Overseer, everything you could put in front of it, Christy Douglas, today. And we're going to talk about her. She's going to give us some history about her, and then we're just going to talk a little bit about mental health. All right, Christy, so tell us a little bit about yourself, where you hail from, and everything.
Yeah, so first, thank you for inviting me. It is definitely an honor to be on this platform with you. So I am Christy Douglas. I'm a licensed clinical mental health counselor in the state of North Carolina. I went to several state undergraduate, so Bronco Pride all day, every day, stand up HBCU. And for graduate, I went to Grand Canyon University, mastering in professional counseling. I am from a little small town in Harnett County called Bun Level. And it's one of those counties where it's literally nothing except for one store, one post office box, and one Dollar General. So I come from a small town. I've had the opportunity to live in Charlotte. And now back closer to home, which is Raleigh. But thank you for having me.
Well, fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about mental health. What made you want to become a mental health professional?
This is a question that I feel like is extremely loaded.
Go for it.
Growing up, seeing different things within the family and then seeing my personal way of responding to trauma, emotional trauma, I did what I could do to kind of fill voids, I guess you can say, or I did what I wanted to do to fill voids. It never became clear to me of my unhealthy or unhealthy way of coping until I got into college. When I got into college, I noticed that, okay, Christy, like, you are doing the absolute most, and you need to figure out why you're doing what you're doing. So decided to go into mental health field. And go ahead.
No, what were you doing? Like, college students, we drank and smoke and...
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, drinking, smoking, partying, like, literally every weekend. My mama would tell me, when I was in high school, my mama used to tell me that I needed to be home by, like, a certain time. She would say, like, 9, maybe 10 o'clock. And my thing was, well, I mean, I'm with my friends, so I'm already late. I might as well do whatever I want to do, because what's the worst that can happen? Let's be real transparent. Having sex, you know, doing things that I knew that I was doing it for attention. I was acting out for attention, and I didn't care if the attention was positive or negative. That's just the way that I saw things. I was raised in the church, but still, the church didn't give me much insight into my unhealthy behaviors. They just told me what to do and what not to do, so to speak. And then I became like the counselor for my friends and giving advice and things of that nature. So it kind of just started from there.
Now, I understand when you say, excuse me, that the unhealthy behaviors, because I experienced the same thing, having sex, unmarried sex, premarital sex, mm-hmm. and partying and having fun. And the rule in my mother's house was that you can stay out all night if you want to, but you're still going to church on Sunday. And so no matter what, yeah. So no matter what we did on Friday, Saturday night, we had to be in church on Sunday. And like you said, that without having the background to that, that can create a system that is not acknowledging your unhealthy behaviors, but just saying, this is what we're going to do because this is our rule and this is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what? I knew what I was doing, obviously. Like, looking back now, I knew exactly what I was doing. But I never had the conversation with my mama. Like, I guess it was just one conversation in terms of, like, mama, was I a horrible kid? Like, I just didn't, like, talk about those things with her. Last year I was in clinical supervision and my supervisor, she asked me a question that made me talk to my mom about like my teenage years. And I asked her, I said, well, mama, do you remember what my teenage years were? And she said, her exact words to me was, Christy, I don't know what happened whenever you got in high school, but you became a whole nother person, like an entire different person. And I was able to vouch for that. Because I knew that I became a whole nother Christy. I was looking for attention, no matter what type of attention it was. So that means breaking the rules and my mama yelling at me or my mama beating me, then that's what happened.
Yeah.
Obviously not beaten to a point of abuse, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just a friendly reminder of what not to do.
Right.
So... Understood. So let me ask you this. How do you see how mental health can help in the church now, in the future, or the future church?
I think for one, having the understanding that you can have God in a therapist. Growing up, we always heard, take it to the Lord in prayer, just pray about it. You know, God's got it all in control. And those statements are very true, but it's okay to have a therapist in your faith. It's okay to lean into your faith and lean into a therapist, because reality is God created us to be human beings, to being interactive human beings. And yes, he interacts with us, but it's okay that we interact with another human being. We go to the doctor for headaches and high blood pressure and diabetes and all this other stuff. Why can't we go to a doctor or a psychiatrist or a therapist for stress, for feeling overwhelmed, for feeling like we have a lack of balance? And I think that that is what the scripture, 3 John 1 and 2, is when it talks about being in good health, not only your physical health, but also your mental health.
Okay. Excuse me. So do you feel like there should be therapists who are active, or mental health professionals who are active, who are actively assisting in the churches?
I do. I feel like there should be, you mean like somewhere like a counseling center on a church campus?
Yes, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, I think that would be beneficial, for one, because you're seeing somebody that believes what you believe, and two, you're seeing someone that understands your values. Seeing a therapist, you have to be very strategic in who you pick to be a therapist. If you want them to look like you, if you want them to believe like you, you have to be very strategic in who you choose to be your therapist. So having a therapist center or a counseling center on campus would be extremely beneficial, because you know, for one, they're already believing the same faith that you believe. And it's okay. Easy access. You don't have to go around the world just to find it. It's right there on campus.
Yes. So since you brought that up, when we do look for a therapist, what type of therapist should we look for? What qualities and criteria should we look for?
So first, if you are, I always try to throw this out as like a bonus. If you are working for a job that provides benefits, check with your human resources department to see if they provide you with an EAP service, which is Employee Assistance Program. You're already paying for free therapy. You're just not using it. EAP is specifically for you to go to therapy for 4, 5, 6, sometimes even 12 sessions for free. And none of the stuff that you talk about in your therapy session will ever get back to your employer, because we're licensed to, or we're bound to confidentiality. So for one, if you receive benefits, check to see if your benefit includes EAP. Another thing I would suggest is if you have a primary care physician, a PCP, ask them for a referral. They already know what's going on with you physically, and a lot of times your physical health has a lot to do with your mental health. So ask your PCP. But if you're looking from like a therapist directory, you want to always, for one, check to see if they accept your insurance. If you don't care about insurance, you want to do self-pay, that's a plus. But filter through what you want to see that therapist for. Is it grief? Is it anxiety? Is it that you're feeling overwhelmed? Is it depression? Is it PTSD because you've experienced abuse? What is it that you want that therapist to focus on? And then just being able to decide, do I want my therapist to be Black? Do I want my therapist to be white, Hispanic, Korean? You have to do those filters to see what type of therapist you want. In terms of approach, do you want a therapist to lead the entire session, or do you want somebody to co-lead with you and talk things through with you? Do you want them to give out homework? So you have to think about the logistics part of it, so insurance and all of that, but also the approach. What type of approach do you want your therapist to have?
I like that, the homework piece, because a lot of people think that you can just go to the therapist and, quote, unquote, lay on the couch and allow the therapist to diagnose everything that is, quote, unquote, wrong with you. And people don't realize that healing does take help from you. And the scripture does say faith without works is dead. So you can have faith all day long that you're back in balance and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're going to also have to put some work behind it. You're going to have to, and as you said too, you're going to have to reflect and look back and figure out, how can I make some changes, or where can I make some changes in my life to receive the outcome that I want? And I know you didn't say this, but when you seek out a therapist, you also need to know what your goal is for going mm-hmm. to the therapist.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I always ask my clients, so I always do a consultation first, just so I can make sure that it's a good fit. I don't want neither my client or me to go through the process of we don't fit, like we just don't click together, because that is mm-hmm. a waste of their time, in reality, a waste of mine as well. So, and I don't want them, if this is their first approach to therapy, I don't want it to be a horrible approach just because I didn't sort through the is this a good fit process. But in terms of homework, I give homework all the time, but I make it a collaboration in terms of asking my clients, okay, this is what we talked about today. What do you think would be beneficial for the week? Because I need you to do the work. The therapy session is only sometimes 38, 45, 53 minutes, and we can't talk about everything in that time frame. So 10% of the work is in the session. 90% of the work is outside of the session, what you take with the information and how you implement it. If you don't do the homework, then you're not making the full investment of it. And the homework isn't hard. It's just paying attention to emotions, or being able to track when you feel upset, or track whenever you feel overwhelmed, so that you can know your self-awareness.
Yes, that's big, is being aware of yourself. And sometimes we don't like the person that we see in the mirror. So mm-hmm. we don't want to be self-aware. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I can tell you about you all day, but when it comes to me, that's not that ain't cute, because that's gonna be uncomfortable. That's gonna be uncomfortable. That's why therapy is so, people don't approach it easily or lightly, because they know, okay, now we're gonna get into the ugly truth of me.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I attended seminary at Virginia Union University, and that was one thing that they strongly encouraged, was for us to get a therapist. And they said, to be a good pastor, you have to have a good therapist and an even greater God. So mm-hmm. as long as you, they felt like having a therapist is important. And even if you are a therapist, you have a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody that's guiding you, because you're carrying, or you can tend to carry, other people's burdens. And you need to have an outlet to let that out as well. So,
absolutely. I started going to therapy because I felt like I can't continue to do therapy on myself. That's not ethical at all, and it ain't helpful at all for me. So I might as well go see a therapist.
go see a therapist yourself. So let me ask you this. Tell me about your purpose, and what do you feel your purpose is?
So as you stated earlier, I have the pleasure of being both a therapist and a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into ministry, I thought it was, the traditional approach in terms of from the pulpit or teaching classes or whatever the case may be. But I'm learning that my ministry looks different. I know that I have been gifted with the gifts of service, the gifts of help. And I was even told the gift of deliverance. But I don't see it in the approach of, you know, being at the altar and, you know, doing deliverance that way. I more so see it from the emotional aspect of it. There are so many leaders that are bleeding while they're leading. They don't know how to be a leader, a human, tap into their emotions. Self-care, they don't know how to do those things. All they know is what they've been exposed to, which is church. So I feel like that is what my ministry is to show leaders the importance of being self-aware, knowing yourself, knowing how to have a healthy balance between your faith and therapy and mental health. I also feel like my purpose is being able to reach women. So there are a lot of broken women, a lot of women that feel like they're stuck, a lot of women that just feel like, I don't have anything else to give, I'm not feeling fulfilled at all. I feel like that is my purpose, to help them and help them heal themselves from the inside out. So I would say my purpose is for leadership, but as well as women in general. Specifically African-American women that I've noticed I've done a lot of work with.
Okay. That's good. And I know you are still young, in your 30s, but if you could give any advice to this younger generation, let's say people in their early 20s, and their teenage years, what would that advice be?
In their teenage years? Wow. That's a tough one. I would say I would say to learn yourself. In your teenage years, you're trying to find yourself, but you're still, reality is you're trying to fit in. And sometimes that fitting in is hard because you don't know who you are. So I would say, you know, understand your values, understand who you are, what you enjoy doing, and that will be the foundation for adulthood. There are a lot of adults just don't know who they are. So if you do the work in your teenage years and have fun, I mean, you're a teenager. Don't do anything crazy that's going, you know, you'll later regret. But at the same time, have fun, enjoy life, set goals, have boundaries, and, you know, just be you, love you.
Well, fantastic. So I'm not going to say exactly, but I'm a little bit older than you. What advice would you give to my generation?
Well, I probably would say somewhat the same thing, because you're evolving still. Just because you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even 80s, doesn't mean that you stop going after your goals. We, for whatever reason, we put a limit on goals. When you have a life, live it. Go after that goal. So I would probably say the same thing. Learn who you are today, because who you are in your 40s and 50s is not who you were as in your 30s or in your 20s. And, you know, tap into that inner child. Tap into that inner child to have fun and not just work and be a parent and be a spouse, but tap into that inner child of laughter and fun and enjoyment.
Got you.
We get in the cycle of adulting, and that's fine, but adulting can be boring. If you're just doing work at home and that's it, and church, that can be boring. Mm-hmm. So tap into your inner child.
Exactly. So how do you stay motivated? What keeps you motivated? What's your why?
This is going to sound really crazy. I'm still learning that. And I say that sounds crazy because I teach it every day to my clients, but I ain't mastered it yet. My motivation is like a roller coaster. I can have it today, and then 2 weeks down the road, I'm like, okay, I need to find something else to motivate me. So I am still learning that. I'm still finding ways to keep my motivation going. And a part of that is learning my distractions. I do know that music motivates me. So when I have music, it makes my it creates this moment of motivation where I'm able to literally accomplish any goal. And then I have certain individuals that I look up to on a personal level, but also on like a celebrity level, that it makes me just think outside of the box. If they can do it, then I can do it type thing. But outside of that, I am still learning my motivation because it ain't there in every area.
Okay. Sounds good. So, October is Depression and Mental Health Awareness Month. So what type of advice would you give us within the month of October that we need to focus on with ourselves and with others?
Find balance between everyone else and yourself. So be very intentional about scheduling time out for you. I don't care if it's 15, 20 minutes, or 30 minutes. Find time for you. And love on you, but also identify what the self-care look like for you. So if that looks like praying, doing devotionals, writing, journaling, taking road trips, whatever that looks like, do those things. Because a lot of people don't know, but the September to December time frame tends to be the hardest for a lot of people. And we call that seasonal depression because, you know, it gets dark early, it's cold, you know, that's a very tough quarter for a lot of people. So this last quarter, you got to go harder. That means harder than you did in summer because summer is, the sun is out, it's hot outside, you can go to the beach, all these other places. Between October and December, or September and December, those type of things kind of change because the weather changes. So tap into what helps you focus, what brings you self-centered in terms of you're centered with yourself. Dress up, do stuff for yourself, whatever that looks like, whatever your self-care looks like, do it because you're going to need it to push through these months.
Got you. So, and I remember my mom mentioning that once the time goes back, you know, you fall back in the fall and the seasons change, that her attitude would change. And at some point, she would kind of shut down because it just felt like, you know, the days were shorter. And, you know, by 5 o'clock, on the East Coast, it was already dark outside. So she would just kind of shut down during those months. And for me personally, my father died in October. My husband's grandmother died in November. And my mother died in December. And my grandmother died in December. So for me, the last quarter of the year, for the last few years, have been kind of traumatic and sort of, as people would say, a Debbie Downer or gloomy. And every year, I started this last year, I was just determined that October, November, and December were going to be my best month. I was going to do things that I hadn't done before in those months. And in December of last year, I did visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona. A girlfriend and I, we had never been to Phoenix. So we went to Phoenix, Arizona, and somewhat planned out our businesses for the 2021 year. So that gave us a chance to get away and do something different. And to just, like you said, change the scenery. And just changing your scenery and changing your routine for people who are in a routine. Don't let your routine become a rut that you can't make some changes. So, is there anything else you would like to share with the group before we go?
So I kind of want to pick up from where you left off about you changed the theme of your last year and the last part of the year, and you started planning for, you know, businesses and everything else. I am noticing that if you start planning December 31st or January 1st, you're already behind.
You're already late. Yes.
So making the last quarter of the year as reflection, as evaluation, even as just casting vision, that can be one of the most powerful things, because you're setting the tone for not only the end of the year, but also for the year to come. So I love that idea of doing that, because you're setting the tone. First of all, you're distracting yourself from the idea of being depressed or grieving during that time period. But you're also setting the tone for that time period and what time is to come, which is the year after, or the visions to come in terms of business. So I love that you're doing that. That is something that I said I wanted to start doing this year, because I've never done it before. I've always just waited until December 31st or January 1st to do a vision board or anything else. But now I'm learning that concept of you're already behind. You're already behind. So I love that idea.
We're gonna have to have a vision casting party together then. I went to one online in January, and it was really interesting. The lady did it through Zoom. But she sent us to websites and Googled and told us how to get pictures and pull pictures to put on your vision board. And I did a vision board in 2016. I think it was January or December of 2015. And I went to this vision board party, and I put some things on my vision board, and this is what I want. This is how I want God to move in these areas. Well, in 2018, I started feeling really, like, sad. And I'm like, okay, God, why am I sad? What is going on here? I looked at my vision board. I had accomplished everything on my vision board.
So
it's like I'm so thankful and grateful that God allowed me the opportunity to accomplish the things that I put on my vision board and that I prayed over. But once you've accomplished that, it's time to go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. What's the song say? Level up, level up, level up.
So that's it.
We gotta continue to level up, level up, level up. And sometimes, and, you know, we're taught in school and in business or whatever about the glass ceiling. So once you reach your glass ceiling, you got to bust that ceiling and go to the next one, and to the next one, and to the next one. And God has been too good to us for us not to want to level up. And one word I love you said, evolve. And that we're constantly evolving. Yes. So anything else we want to talk about before we go?
So I have some amazing things, things that's getting ready to happen. So definitely go to my website, www.cdouglascounseling.com, or follow me on Facebook, Christy Douglas, Licensed Clinical Mental Health Counselor, and that's LCMHC, on Facebook or Instagram.
Christy Douglas. What is it again? What's the website?
Okay.
Spell it out.
So the website is C Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-A-S, counseling, C-O-U-N-S-E, LING.com. That has all of my services. It has everything on that page, on that website. If you go to my Facebook page, Christy Douglas, LCMHC, you'll be able to see everything there as well. And interact with me because I love talking to people. I love, you know, engaging with people. And then on Instagram, C. Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-A-S, counseling, C-O-U-N-S-E-L-I-N-G, and interact with me there as well. So I have amazing things getting ready to come into place, but you will only know about it if you're on my website and you subscribe in terms of email marketing or if you're following me on social media.
Well, fantastic. Fantastic. I am so, so excited. Oh, we forgot one thing. Christy, Minister Christy, what is your favorite scripture, your favorite Bible verse?
So Joshua 1 and 8, keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you'll be prosperous and successful. So I'm always looking for, like, God, I need to be successful in this area. I want to be successful in that area. And every time it always pushes me back to, well, what does my word say? Or either the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So in every area of my life when I'm setting goals, those two scriptures always send me back to, if you know me, if you seek me, then you have no choice but to be successful in these things.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This has been fabulous. This has been wonderful. One thing we forgot to say. So Christy and I actually grew up in the same church. We attended Mount Pisgah Harnett. Original Free Will Baptist Church in Irwin, North Carolina. So we also want to thank our pastor, Bishop Reginald S. Hinton, for for instilling it in us and helping us spiritually, cultivating us spiritually to be the women of God that we are. And shout out to your mom as well, and your father passed away recently, and my father passed away a few years ago. And so, you know, as a mental health therapist, how are you navigating that?
my grandma, she died in December. And a couple of weeks later, my dad died. So that was probably the hardest thing I ever dealt with in my life. And it created this anxiety that I have never experienced before in terms of panic attacks or just worrying who's going to be the next person to die. It made me question my faith on every level. But I started seeing a grief therapist that is allowing me to process things. When I tell you I approach her with the ugliest of uglies, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what happens in my therapy session. So I am learning how to process my grief and be gracious with myself and not feel like I have to get over my grief in a certain amount of time. And grief therapy is definitely helping me with that.
Well, that is fabulous. And thank you so much for sharing such a personal experience with us. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was one of the things that I experienced also. And you're taught in seminary or in various situations that grief, you have to experience it in order, you know, acceptance and all of these other parts of it. And it's a continuum. But actually, grief is not a continuum. It's more like a ball of yarn, ball of yarn of emotions. And some days you accept it. Okay, my parents, in my case, both of my parents and my grandmother have gone to heaven. And that's what you think, but some days you're still angry about it. For me, you know, my mom passed away. You never got to go to my children's or my oldest daughter's high school graduation. You'll never see her graduate from college. So those things are hard for me to process when those instances occur.
Right.
You know, like on her on her high school graduation day, I was crying because I was happy my child graduated high school. But also, because my parents weren't physically able to be there. And I know we mentioned our pastor. One thing that I am thankful for was that I told him this past Mother's Day has been one of the hardest Mother's Days for me. And I told him, I said, you know, I went in Walmart one day. There were no Mother's Day items up at all. I stopped in the Walmart the next day just to pick up one or two things. And it seemed like the whole store was filled with Mother's Day items. And I just wanted to go and take the card section and flip it over, you know, the display cases, and flip them over and take my hand down a shelf and just knock everything over.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he said, Elder Oates, welcome to the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a chance for me to really say, oh, my gosh, my dad passed in 2013. My mom passed in 2016. You know, it's, 2021? I should be over this. But no, everybody grieves on a different time scale, and everybody processes things differently. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But thank you for sharing. Thank you. Yeah, and one thing also that Minister Douglas said, too, give yourself some grace. During this last quarter of the year and the beginning quarter of next year can be hectic with Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Rosh Hashanah, whatever holidays you celebrate, and the new year. So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace. So thank you so, so very much. And
thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. And you know, you are welcome to come on anytime you like. So if you feel like there's something on your heart that you want to share, you're more than welcome to come on and share it. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again, oh God, we just thank you and praise you for allowing us to have a great conversation this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever we are. We understand that fall has set in our hemisphere. The leaves are changing, but we don't want our hearts to change for you, Lord God. We want to stay on the wall. We want to stay on the battlefield, Lord God. Continue to touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, Lord. Give us a deeper focus and a deeper concentration and a deeper love for you and a deeper love for one another, Lord God. We ask that you just touch Minister Christie's businesses, Lord God. Touch her ministry, Lord God, as she moves forward to do your work and to do your will, Lord God. We ask that you continue to pour your anointing and your abundance upon Kayla Padgett and Josie through Josie's Inspirations, Lord God. We praise you, we glorify you, and we lift up your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey,
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to visit www.carlajoles.com. Subscribe to the website. We also have some new and exciting things coming up in the future. And you don't want to miss out on our newsletter. So visit www.carlajoles.com. I can also be found on Facebook at Carla J. Oles. Don't forget, go and like the page. And we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.